Welcome to the Recycle Rice podcast, where every Saturday we are learning about environment, climate change or sustainability from experts in the industry or people working on the field. And they are sharing their knowledge, their understanding, their learnings with us so that we may get slightly better in our understanding about the most important topic of our generation. And I am super excited for you to meet all our guests. So here we go. On episode 6 of the Recycle Rice podcast, we have with us Dr. G.D. Yadav. Dr. Yadav has been conferred the Padma Shri in 2016 for his outstanding contribution in science and engineering. He is one of the most prolific academicians cum administrators who is internationally recognized by many prestigious and rare awards, fellowships, honors for his seminal contributions to education, research and innovation in green chemistry and engineering, biotechnology, nanotechnology, energy engineering, and development of clean and green technologies. He has provided inspiring leadership to various institutes across India. I can't even begin to elaborate on all his achievements, but it is surely a great honor to be in conversation with Dr. Yadav. Welcome to the podcast, sir.
Thank you.
So you are the chairman of the Waste Management Committee, Department of Science and Technology, Government of India. You already come with immense domain knowledge even before that. But was there any fact or figure, a case study or a ground reality that caught you by surprise?
Yeah, thank you, Pratyusha. I was surprised to find that such an important issue did not get any priority until the Swachh Bharat mission was launched by the Honorable Prime Minister. We tolerate heaps of waste around our colonies, towns, and cities without bothering that we are the creators of that waste. And I'm more surprised by the lack of public awareness on waste, its types, and also its impact. Now, quite interestingly, general public does not think that they are responsible for all kinds of waste and their attitude towards disposal. Literally throwing the waste out of their windows or homes somehow, of course, without segregation, is a solution to them. Now, I think it is possible to create a zero waste society by 2025, where everybody can contribute to this grand aim. I believe by 2025, the average waste generated per person per day will be around 1.46 kg. Then what is the solution for this waste?
Not all of India and its landfill will be sufficient to put that waste. In India, we know that landfills and solid waste management is a burgeoning problem. Also, earlier, they used to be outside the cities. But now, as the cities are growing and eating up into the towns and villages around it, we have waste mountains in the center of the city. So what is the best way forward for the solid waste management? And like you just gave, that it is only going to increase. So what is it that we can do?
Literally, there are about 7 ways of handling the problem. And the best way is not to create it. Now, that Absolutely. Is not possible. That is not possible. So what is the order in which we can tackle this waste? First is avoid. Second is to reduce. Third is the reuse, which is a so-called green design also. Recycle, recover, treat and dispose ultimately when there is no other solution. Now, that should be the least preferable solution. Quite honestly, solid waste management is a very challenging but solvable issue and not the landfill, whether it is within the city, outside the city or towns or villages. The issue then boils down to waste collection, its segregation, storage, transfer and transport. So what is the solution? Technologies have helped society over the years and it has also led to waste generation. With the time, their overuse has created problems which were not anticipated then. But I firmly believe that the only solution is another advanced technology. No ban works, but better technology makes previous technology obsolete. And that is the part of history. And the history of civilization has taught us that. So concept of waste minimization or zero waste society is a real thing. And this is where the question of circular economy comes into picture. It is a so-called linear economy which leads to waste. What does it mean? It means 100% solid waste management is diverted, and it is diverted in some countries. Then the waste to resource generation or value creation is another advantage of circular economy. Because you know that many problems associated with health are because of the garbage which is dumped here and there. So if there is better health, it will lead to increased productivity. Very importantly, there will not be any leaching of deleterious soluble impurities in the aquifer, rivers or lakes, so they will be clean. And economically, it will formalize a new sector, so-called informal sector, into a waste management sector. This will also lead to resource conservation.
Zero waste is a very ideal scenario, but from that to the present day scenario, the solution is multiple things in terms of reduce, reuse, recycle, or upcycle them, or use technology to enable whatever is the present situation and find a solution for the same.
Yes, right?
So the intent behind every invention is usually to do good. And the same applies to even the single-use plastic, right? Until now, it got out of control and now a top-level polluter. But once again, today, one of the things that is saving lives is that same single-use plastic in terms of gloves and medical equipment. So do you think the way we see and use single-use plastic will change after the present crisis?
Yes. Sometimes overzealous people want to ban whatever they think is a problem because they have no solution. Plastic ban was such a policy decision which did not solve the problem totally. What is the substitute and what cost it is available? Is it convenient to the general public? These kind of questions were not asked or addressed by that particular policy. For instance, the solution of a paper or glass as a substitute to single-use plastic is ridiculous. Because what is the idea behind that? The idea behind that is that you throw it after its use and it will not cause any pollution and the nature will take care of it. This is a short-sightedness. I think the ban on single-use plastic was a knee-jerk reaction without finding an alternate economically viable and easily adaptable material. It is true that we have to reduce waste, be that plastic, metal, debris, but a long-term solution is needed. Just imagine how plastic is being used to fight corona, as you said earlier. We need it more now than ever before to remain safe. The masks, the medicines, the food products and whatnot, they are safe because of the plastic, whether single use or otherwise.
Since we're talking about plastic bags, there's plastic bags that also dissolve in water or somewhere else made from cornstarch, basically biodegradable plastic. Can't we produce that on an industrial scale for wider use?
Well, a very good question. There is a lot of confusion surrounding this so-called biodegradable plastic or bioplastic because, you know, this term is used to convey different things to different people. Does it mean plastic made from biomass like maize, corn or corn starch or whatever or potato with the characteristics that are the same as the plastic which is made from crude oil or so-called petrol-based plastic? Or does it mean plastic that is biodegradable, no matter what is the source? And in the latter case, can they be thrown out on the backyard compost heap and it will compost on its own? Or do they need to be industrially composed? Now, the different types of bioplastics cannot be easily distinguished from petroplastic. They often end up being mixed with collected for plastic for recycling. So now this corrupts either the recycling process for plastic or composing process for organic material. It is true you can make plastic from, you know, this starch, etc. But they don't literally dissolve just like that. There is a process. Okay, it takes time. In fact, by using biodegradable plastics, companies are less dependent on crude oil and the accompanying fluctuation in the prices of the oil in the world. Now, that industry is in doldrums. Nobody would have imagined negative price of crude oil a few weeks ago. In some countries, there are lower packaging taxes on for companies that those choose biodegradable plastic.
Right.
So long as there is a strategy for waste management, any kind of plastic should not be banned. That is my personal belief.
Fine, we'll agree to that. But in real life, I am doing away with all single-use plastic. But for a moment, I'll keep my personal opinion aside and speak about why PET is good. PET is 100% recyclable, has minimum carbon footprint, most recycled plastic worldwide. It is as high as 80% in India. While it's a viable option at a few places, it's not the solution. So do we advocate these PET bottles?
Of course, PET is 100% recyclable, as you say, irrespective of the size of bottle or the container, since advanced technologies are in operations all over the world, including India, where the recyclable rate is about 80%, which is far higher than many advanced countries. Now, there are countless PET rag pickers. Of course, you know, that is an economical problem in India. They collect these PET bottles, they segregate that, they throw other plastic, and then they earn their livelihood. So what is required is a policy decision. Think of today's corona-affected society. PET is an ideal solution, ideal material, providing excellent barrier properties. In fact, I have been professing all along that a deposit of some value on all plastic articles used by public should be levied at, you know, deposit of rupees 1 to 5 with a barcode on it to encourage segregation and recycle. And what will happen, because of the deposit, the citizen is aware that he is not supposed to throw it and he would like to get his deposit back. And interestingly, because of this barcode, it will create a digital economy. And right now we are promoting digital economy. And this will curb pollution at source, and this is like adding to the reverse PET revenue change.
Right.
So actually, you know, I will also add something, Pratyusha. This is a very important segment for me. There are United Nations Development 17 sustainable goals, you know that. They are among which clean water, sanitation is mandatory, like goal number 6. Now, because of this PET use, it will also be added to that sustainable development goal. And many of these waterborne diseases will be controlled because of availability of safe water to millions of people, no matter where they are standing and in what condition, whether it is flood or rain or some dirty weather or cyclone or whatever. So this PET bottle has helped millions of people. And so I think that is another important thing. So the tirade against PET bottles is misplaced, contrary to its value in economy, hygiene, and recyclability. And actually, the small bottle seal, which I mentioned earlier, about 200 milliliters, they actually enhance PET recyclability because the rag pickers get a premium on that. And also, you know, when they're small bottle use, people don't throw. Otherwise, you have a big bottle, 1 liter, you drink little and throw the water as well as the plastic also. So almost 100% of the empty bottles will be collected. There will be white rag pickers because it is giving you value. Therefore, this is also important. Remember, people talk about alternative to PET like glass, paper, Tetra Pak, which are more harmful to the environment and they aggravate the water crisis. Somehow many citizens are not aware of the manufacturing aspect of paper and glass. Glass bottle require 30 tons of water per ton of glass. The temperature is 1600 degrees Celsius plus. And it leads SOx, NOx gases, acidic gases. Tetra Pak is actually worse because recycling cannot be done. It is made of material like paper, metal, and plastic. This is the paper. Also, this manufacture requires 1.5 ton of chemical per ton of paper and 2.5 ton of water.
No, unfortunately, plastic has become a monster. But even the other industries, be it paper or cloth industry or glass industry, they're very much resource intensive. And in fact, I recently read a report from Germany, I believe, which said that you have to use a cloth bag at least 1,000 times for it to have the same value as a plastic bag. So there are multiple layers. It's not just simply plastic is good or bad, cloth is good or bad, but there is a lot of study and understanding behind each of those.
Think on how to use them safely, collect them, and also recover energy or recycle them. That is what our emphasis should be now.
Exactly. You've worked closely with government bodies. The best thing is you will be directly influencing policy. But what is the greatest hurdle? Because clearly the government has the intention. That is why they set up all these government bodies to do good. But why not translate into action more quickly?
You know, Pratyusha, I will tell you, mostly the members of such committees, you know, are scientists or engineers of accomplished, repute. So they give their honest opinions, which are normally translated into some sort of report, and the recommendations are made. Implementation of those recommendations is the prerogative of the government of the day. Sometimes there are pressure groups which act exactly opposite. But my experience of working with government bodies has been very positive, and I have enjoyed working with them. Normally, these kind of committees, when they are composed, they are not told that you must give this kind of report. They are never told. That is, general public thinks that way, but it is never done that. Scientists have their own mind.
Okay, so it is not as bad as it is being projected.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But they are on the path of making all our lives better.
Correct.
Sir, so environment, energy, and sustainable future. This is like the Holy Trinity. What's the scope and how do we prioritize or find a balance between them?
Yes, very good question, India. Energy and environment are intimately linked. That is why we say clean energy, which will lead to clean environment. And our goal that Paris Accord, we should limit our temperature rise during this particular century to about 1.5 degrees C.
Right.
India is a signatory to that. Now, think of the 17 sustainable goals of the UNDP. We must use renewable resources. Mm-hmm. Actually, people are talking sometimes not carbon dioxide neutral. No, that is not the solution. Carbon dioxide negative energy sources like hydrogen energy or the other forms of energy, wind energy, solar energy, whatever you name it. As regards the materials and all, hydrogen energy is going to be the best, and India must adopt hydrogen energy policy. I'm telling you this because hydrogen will be required for making electricity, fuel cells, ammonia, fertilizers, whatnot, or even converting this waste biomass into some valuable chemicals. So sustainable future means what? To use renewable energy without polluting the environment, meeting the material and food needs of the society, and literally creating a zero waste society. So as a scientist come engineer, I'm quite hopeful that we will overcome the current problems with better solution. And as I stated before, better technology is a solution to the previous technology, which was responsible for advancement but created some problems with reference to environment. So what is that? Stronger, healthier, and happier future will be there when we have these three components of the Trinity: environment, energy, and sustainable future.
I mean, it is not one more than the other, but trying to find a balance between all the three. 2022 was supposed to be the year of healthy India. All the vision, plans, and roadmaps seem to be tossed with the present crisis, at least a little bit. So how will our priorities change and how do we progress from here?
This is the question which should be asked to the Prime Minister. But I'll give you my opinion. My opinion is that Corona has told us that everybody is susceptible to this virus. Nobody can escape it. In other words, we have to remain healthy. So in the healthy India, if we ensure that we have a clean environment, Swachh Bharat, whatever we say, obviously it will lead to healthy thing. Nobody thought 3 months ago that we will have a situation where everybody will be sitting at home. And it has changed all priorities. Healthy India will be a dream come true if everybody remains healthy, has a livelihood, and also it grows our economy. Definitely it will be good because there are other diseases we have forgotten right now. Never before, all nations were on the same side, trying to find out a solution to save humanity. People will put their inventions, innovations, technology for public good, because even if you get a vaccine, how do you vaccinate 7.3 billion people? How much time it will require and what type of doses it will require? So I think this healthy India is not, it is healthy world. It will be a healthy world, and healthy world will only lead to the better livelihood. So I think it is a question for the entire world. It is not just for Yeah, it is not just for India.
And all the economic environment policies that we are thinking, all of that would even be possible if we are healthy in the first place. But honestly, sir, what I think is there is going to be a lot of learning and self-reflection for individuals as well as governments across the world to think and see where human action is going wrong and what we need to do to avert another crisis situation like this.
Yes, yes. Of course. You know, what is going to happen? There will be more research funding for research of this kind. Imagine, we have to think ahead.
The best thing is to not forget history and take the lessons that we are learning and implement it in the future.
You said it, because right now also I must tell you, without undermining efforts of any individual, any institute, any nation, we must learn and find out what are they doing and what can we learn from them. So I believe that in this particular crisis, we will learn from each other.
Okay, absolutely, sir. And thank you for all your perspective and input.
Thank you for interviewing me. I enjoy talking to you, and I hope it is of useful nature to society at large. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's Recycle Rice podcast. And to share your learnings across Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or even LinkedIn, you can find us as Recycle Tech. That is RECYKALTECH. Do tag us. And I'm going to see you next Saturday. Till then, it's your host, Pratyusha Parkala, signing off.